800-245-7816. That's 800-245-7816. Again, 800-245-7816.
Montana is talking here. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Open phones, 406-294-0970. George, we were talking a little bit about Biden's executive order on guns. Any input on that?
Yeah, this is something. Pay attention, people. This is big. So we have the Constitution. That's ultimate law, right? And here you have a president who wants, by executive order, to strengthen gun control. By executive order. Now, one thing is he can't have an executive order that goes against the Constitution. And the scary thing is Joe Biden, since he's been president, has proven that he doesn't care what the Constitution says or what the Supreme Court says, because he has actually said the words, it's probably not constitutional, but we'll let the Supreme Court tell us that later.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm implementing it now.
Yeah, that's
right. So that right there is blatant disregard for the Constitution and the Supreme Court, and everybody should be up in arms. But did you hear anything about it? Did the media say, hey, this president just went against our Constitution? No, they didn't say that. So what he's doing with this executive order is he's trying to strengthen these gun laws. One of the repercussions of this is if you want to buy your daughter or your son a shotgun or a rifle or whatever to go hunting with, it's now illegal to do that. You can't go buy one for them and give it to them as a gift as their parent, because every private gun transaction will have to have a background check, and it will have to go through a federally licensed dealer.
Here's a question for you. How many of the Montana Talks listeners are actually going to comply with Biden's executive order on that?
I don't think any listeners of this show will, but who knows?
That's the whole universal background check that Democrats have been pushing for a long time, and they want it so you can't. Not only can you not, you know, buy a gun and then give it to your son or daughter, or maybe your brother or sister, or your mom or dad, or whoever it might be. You can't then sell it either. And I haven't looked into this Biden's executive order, or I'm hoping that, you know, some of the great conservative legal groups out there, like the Gun Policy Center and Mountain States Legal Foundation, hoping some of these groups will challenge that in court and get it thrown out, because that's clearly. The thing is the Second Amendment says we have the right to keep and bear arms. And when you have a right to keep something and bear it, what comes along with that is the right to other people's right to keep and bear that bear those arms, and our right to then gift it or sell it. And so having the federal government come in and limit that in such an unreasonable way is totally inappropriate.
It definitely is. And, you know, I salute Austin Knutson for, man, getting on that first one. First one in the country to stand up. He didn't wait a day, I don't think, to stand up and say, hey, I'm challenging that. And the attorney generals of all 50 states should be challenging that. You know, these laws, people can grow into other things and have unintended consequences, like we see that a lot. So I'll give you for example of why we need to pay attention to this. So in Canada, up there, they have a law that is so broad that anything that you wield with your hand could be considered a prohibited weapon. So if it's designed to incapacitate, injure, immobilize, harm, threaten, basically scare someone, then they can classify that as a prohibited weapon and say, okay, well, you know, David, you and your neighbor had this argument and you wielded this weed eater, and guess what? You made that a weapon, and that's prohibited, and now we're going to charge you for having a prohibited weapon. And it just snowballs into other things. It's so ridiculous in Canada that you cannot own mace or pepper spray in Canada. So for personal protection. Now, you can buy bear spray, but if you get caught with the bear spray, you have to be in the woods hiking or somewhere where you might have a reasonable expectation to run into a bear. Otherwise, it's prohibited. And so at an airport, I know an American that went to the airport in Calgary, checked their baggage. They were at their gate, showed their passport, and they said, we're detaining you. And they're like, what in the world are you talking about? Yes, there will be an officer along pretty soon and to talk to you. That person had a keychain container of mace in their checked bag. Couldn't even access it. And they told her she now has a record in Canada. If something else happens, it'll be her second offense, because this first offense is having a prohibited weapon in Canada. It's ridiculous.
That is so ridiculous. And my initial reaction to that is, and these are the people that supposedly care so much about women. And my little sister went to live in Chicago for a little while. One of the first things I did for my little sister when she went to live in Chicago was to buy her mace. And these little, they've got these little mace things that they look like lipstick things, for example, but it's actually mace. I bought my little sister mace because I love her and I wanted her to have that and have a way to protect herself in Chicago. And so these leftist Democrats and leftists in Canada who claim to be all, you know, they're the ones that are pro women, and it's us who are have a war on women, and yet they're the ones that are prohibiting women from carrying mace.
Yes. It doesn't make any sense. It just does not make any sense. And, you know, the problem is you get somebody out here with a crazy idea and then other people just blindly follow them because, well, they're in my party. They're on my side. So I'm going with that. We need to question everybody. When somebody comes up with rules like this, question them. It doesn't matter what party they're in or what side they're on. We need to be asking, hey, why do they do this and is it legal?
Well, yeah. And the reality is, of course, is that new Canada law about prohibited weapons and anything used as... We already have laws against using anything to scare somebody or hurt somebody. It's called assault with a weapon or just plain old assault. These are laws that are totally unnecessary. Folks, if you want to...
Spanish. If you want to learn a new language, there's no better way than Babbel. Go to Babbel.com to try Babbel for free. That's Babbel.com.
Liberal Senator John Tester pretends to be just an everyday everyman, but yet he's racked up over $1.2 million in restaurant bills at fancy Washington, D.C. restaurants. You know, I'll tell you what, that's why I'm really glad I went through Billings last diet. Because, you know, man, I got back from my last deployment. I was putting on the pounds and couldn't get them off. And, you know, the thing is when you get in that lifestyle where you just eat too much, it also gets to be really expensive, especially with the John Tester Biden inflation that we've got going on right now. So thanks to Billings Last Diet, not only did I lose 33 pounds in under 3 months, I've kept it off 4 years later, but I'll bet you I've saved a lot of money. I've saved a lot of money where I'm not just going to get fast food because I feel like I need to eat right now. You save money, you lose weight. But more importantly, it's about your health. It's about being around for your kids and your grandkids. Check it out. It's the program that works. BillingsLastDiet.com or call 294-6751.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
The U.S. Wheat Associates and National Association of Wheat Growers are disappointed that the Surface Transportation Board approved the merger of the Canadian Pacific Railway and Kansas City Southern Railroad. They believe the STB has given a green light to railroad consolidation without regard for the consequences on agricultural shippers from a lack of competition in the U.S. rail sector. The group say higher shipping rates makes U.S. wheat less competitive in the global market at a time when higher prices already hurt the competitiveness of American wheat. Well, a new law over in South Dakota will make it harder to file nuisance complaints or lawsuits against an agricultural operation. After legislators approved the bill earlier this year, South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem signed it at a Mitchell, South Dakota implement dealership this week. She says agriculture is South Dakota's number one industry, and the law protects farmers and ranchers from frivolous lawsuits. Provisions in the law say only the owner or lessee of an affected property can file a nuisance action, and only if the affected property is within a mile of the operation. Groups opposing the bill include Dakota Rural and the Isaac Walton League, saying it's unnecessary and goes too far. Additional provisions in the law say plaintiffs must present clear and convincing evidence the operation violated local, state, or federal laws. The new South Dakota law goes into effect on July 1st. I'm Lane Nordland.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
David Noble in for Aaron Flint. We've got George Blackard in the house as well. We're taking phone calls, 294-0970. We're going to go straight to the phones. We got Tim in Billings. Tim, thanks for calling.
Good morning, gentlemen, and happy Freedom Friday.
Same to you.
George just mentioned, people blindly following these bad ideas. And you know, if you have an idea and you believe in it, you should want it challenged. You should put it out there and want it challenged. And yet it's these people who blindly follow these bad ideas. They're the ones who believe in censorship and not having debate and being able to question things. And in the end, let's just say what it is. They're intellectually dishonest. You know, they have to know that they're being dishonest with themselves and with their fellow man, because if they don't want to see ideas being challenged, then that's not a strong idea to begin with.
Yeah, good point.
And these same people who would argue that, TikTok, if I'm using it, it's fine. They're the same ones that wanted to lock you in your house, put you in a mask, jab you and everything else, because if you could just prevent one person from getting sick. Well, I'm sorry, but it's a military spy tool.
Right.
It's a little different than something that's equivalent to the flu. You know.
Right. Well, and that whole argument about if it just saves one person's life is one of the most absurd arguments, because if you wanted to go with that argument, then you could just ban vehicles because 50,000 people a year die in vehicle crashes. But thanks so much for the call, Tim. Really appreciate it. George, what's your reaction?
See, Tim gets it. He understands. And it's something that we need to pay attention to. And I do like the point that he made that, hey, if you're trying to pass legislation or you have something that you're trying to get done, let people challenge it. Hey, if it passes the test, it passes the test. But unfortunately, we have members of Congress who don't even want that. They try and sneak stuff in there so that they can get it passed without too much attention and people studying it too hard. Otherwise, look, they wouldn't print out these 8,000-page bills, give them to you the night before, and expect you to vote on it the next day. That's exactly what they're doing.
Yeah, and what a complete travesty. And Elon Musk had made a similar point in a tweet the other day, saying a point that lots of people make, the best way to deal with misinformation is to provide accurate information. And it's the same thing with this, where if you've got a good idea or a good bill, you should want and you should invite criticism. If somebody else is putting out bad information, you should simply be able to address it with correct information and logic and reason. But the problem is what we see on the left is they just censor you. If you say something they disagree with, they'll censor you and purge you and ban you.
Yes, absolutely, and that's not fair and honest. It's just not the way that things should be done. And the problem is the media should be calling this out when that happens and say, "Look, here's the whole story. This is what's going on." But they're not. They've chosen sides, and they only report on what makes their guys look good.
Yeah, which is why shows like this are so important, because let's be real, the callers to this show are getting out more information and more correct information than we get from our media. And how many stories, how many critically important stories has Aaron broke on this show from callers?
Oh, absolutely, because he's paying attention. He's out there looking at this stuff. You know, I'll tell you one thing. This story about John Tester and his website that used to campaign, which is illegal, can't do that, right? But here's the problem. Nothing's going to happen to him for that. And because, he's not supposed to do it, and he'll say what they always say, just like Nancy Pelosi with her insider trading. Well, sorry. Sorry.
Right.
You know, and that's all that's going to happen. You know, Tester does this all the time. He had me in a commercial one year. Had video of me and my family at the cemetery. I was wearing my American Legion uniform, and I started getting phone calls, and people are like, "Why did you do a commercial for John Tester?" I said, "I didn't." And they said, "Well, you better check out the TV because you're in one." And basically, it was supposed to be a Memorial Day commercial, right? It was clearly campaign propaganda, clearly. And they didn't have, one, my permission to use me in that commercial. Two, they know they cannot use veterans in their Veterans Service Organization uniforms in campaign commercials. They know they can't, but they do it every year. Tester does it every year until somebody says, hey, you can't run that, and then they take it off. But that's
ridiculous.
Hey, I'm going to do it, and then I'll just apologize later.
Yeah, that's horrible. And they get away with it because of the media, which is why the callers to this show and this show are so important, but also why it's so important that all of us are paying attention to these issues and active on social media, because individual Montanans, individual people can, everybody can be a journalist now. Everybody can post stuff. Everybody has the right to speak, and social media is a huge thing, which is why I'm so active online. I think it's one of the really most effective things we can do. All right, 60-second break here, news break, bottom of the hour. We'll be right back with George Blackard.
News. I'm Chris Foster. China's president's going to Russia next week as a show of support for Russian President Vladimir Putin.
Chinese President Xi Jinping will visit Russia from Monday to Wednesday, with the Russian invasion of Ukraine expected to dominate the discussions. China has tried to project itself as neutral regarding the invasion, even while refusing to condemn Russia's actions.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers. California's San Quentin State Prison's getting a makeover. Death row inmates are being moved out.
Governor Gavin Newsom says the state's oldest prison will then be converted to a facility to rehabilitate prisoners and give them job training to become tradesmen or truck drivers, which are in short supply and pay well. It's not clear if or where there would be a new death chamber. California hasn't executed anyone since 2006. San Quentin's gas chamber was dismantled in 2019.
Fox of Jack Callahan. Stocks start the day lower on Wall Street. America's listening to Fox News.
Our producer here brought us a news story from CTV News, which is the Canadian state news. Sexual assault rate in 2021, highest since 1996. Violent crimes up. According to Statistics Canada, the rate of police-reported sexual assault in Canada has reached its highest level since 1996, according to Statistics Canada. And you almost have to wonder, well, Maybe the fact that you're banning mace may have something to do with that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, let's take away one of the simplest defense mechanisms that we can give a woman, and let's take it away and see what happens. That's a great thing. Our producer, Travis, is a great guy. He found that stuff. Man, brought it right in. But look at that. Highest rates of sexual assault since 1996. Yeah, and you can't carry mace, ladies.
Totally unacceptable. Totally unacceptable. Hey, we got a message from Les in Three Forks. Les says, it is my strong opinion that every single law that pertains to guns or arms are all illegal, because the Constitution clearly says in the Second Amendment that a right to bear arms is a right to a militia, cannot be infringed. This militia is not a federal, state, county, or city militia, but private citizens have this right, which by saying it cannot be infringed should make it where no law can affect it. Judges have not agreed and have said gun can be regulated, which is not legal. If someone breaks other laws while using a gun, then they can be prosecuted, which is not in the Second Amendment, but the amendment does not prohibit the making laws that say a felon or otherwise can't own guns. At least that is my opinion. I believe the only people who can regulate arms as a citizen themselves over their own body, not other persons. I hope this is clear enough for you to understand my meaning. Thanks, Mr. Noble. Thank you, Les. Appreciate that, Les. And your point about the militia, you know, is really important. And I would encourage everybody to go read the U.S. Supreme Court opinions, McDonald and Heller, D.C. v. Heller and Chicago versus McDonald, some of the two seminal Second Amendment cases where they talk about what militia meant at the founding. And the militia at the founding basically referred to all citizens, and all, well, at the time it was all men, because that's who could get called up into a militia. And well regulated militia meant that all citizens were able to use their arms correctly. And so, to, you know, the liberals love to talk about that issue, but they simply do not understand the original meaning of a well regulated militia. A well regulated militia means that every single citizen knows how to use a gun.
Absolutely. And it's precedent. It is out there. All you got to do is go look at it. But then you'll have people that look at that and say, wow, but that's not right. Well, it's the Supreme Court. So I don't know. They're not right when you don't believe in what they're saying, or just all the time. What is it?
Well, right. And then you've got John Tester, who's going to come out and come to Montana and claim that he supports gun rights. He supports the Second Amendment. Well, if that's true, John Tester, then why aren't you criticizing Joe Biden? Where is John Tester criticizing Joe Biden's gun grabs? We'll be right back. 406-294-0970.
Montana is talking here. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
We got a couple of messages here. Another one from Sunk in Billings says, isn't the military supposed to arrest congressmen and even presidents that commit treason? I don't think that's right, Sunk. If congressmen and presidents commit treason, they're supposed to be removed from office, and then they can, at once the president's removed, they can be charged with crimes, but they've got to be impeached and removed. Congress people can be thrown out of office by the House, and so that would have to be, maybe, I think actually Congress people can be charged with crimes while they're in Congress. It's just the president that can't. Tim and Savage says, what part of shall not be infringed is ambiguous. Hashtag Freedom Friday. Thank you, Tim and Savage. George, what else you got for us this morning?
Happy Friday, Tim. So, you know, I like to often give a shout out to our military servicemen and women. And I got a little story today. You know, our Vietnam veterans are some of the greatest people. They've paved the way to make what our country today thinks of our veterans and our military servicemen and women. They're the ones who established this and got this going. You know, they said never again will somebody be treated like we were, and they're the driving force behind this. So I want to kind of pay tribute to a Vietnam Marine. So this Marine, Sergeant Robert Hughes, was a dive NCO for First Recon Company of the U.S. Marines. A lot of people don't know that the Marines have divers, but they do. And so the divers in Vietnam, they would go into waterways and search for weapons or equipment caches, search for bodies. And one of the things they would do is look for tunnels, because it had been observed many, many times where they would be pursuing the Viet Cong, and they would disappear underwater and not come back up. So they realized that these tunnels that they're known for also went underwater. And so Sergeant Hughes one day was working a waterway, and he was looking for tunnel entrances. So you can imagine the water's pretty murky, and he's searching along down there. He finds a tunnel entrance. He has his K-bar in one hand, which is a knife. And just as he's taking a look at this tunnel, an enemy diver comes out of the tunnel with his own knife. So they grab onto each other. If you can imagine, one guy's got a knife in his hand, the other one's holding that wrist, the other guy holding his wrist. So they're locked up identically there, and they're trying to get the upper hand. And, you know, I can't imagine fighting for your life underwater. That would just, to me, is unthinkable. But knowing he needed to do something quick, he grabbed the enemy with his legs and pulled him in really close to him, spit out his breathing apparatus, and let's just say he bit the guy's neck. Bit his neck to defeat this enemy and gain the upper hand, and he did. So there's a lot of, if you look this up, Sergeant Hughes, a Marine in Vietnam, it's considered one of the most brutal kills in Vietnam. And it's just a shout out to,
like,
all
hold on, regions. did his biting of the neck actually kill the guy?
Yeah, he bit his throat out.
Wow.
So that's how he got away. But yeah, so, you know, our military men and women go through a lot of horrible things, and our Vietnam veterans saw some of the worst that you know, warfare can offer. And so a big shout out to all of our veterans, but especially our Vietnam veterans. And on this Freedom Friday, I'm thinking of you and the men and women both. You know, it's, I thank you. Thanks. Welcome home. And thank you.
Amen. Amen to that. You know, growing up in Montana, I remember as a little kid running around my neighborhood, you know, pretending to be in the military and running around with toy guns, and we were playing army and playing war, and I grew up you know, wishing to be in the military someday. And growing up in Montana as a man or as a boy, I always had the impression that if you really wanted to do something with your life, if you wanted to be a real man, you joined the military. And I always thought of joining the military. And one of the reasons I have so much respect for our military men and women is because I knew that joining the military was something that you do to serve your country, to be a real man. And I frankly, and I'll just out and admit this, I didn't have the courage to do it. And I wanted to, and I thought about it, and I didn't have the courage to do it, and I didn't do it. I ended up going to college and law school, but I still have always had that sense about it, and I recognize that I just didn't have the guts to do it. And so that's one of the reasons I have so much respect for people that do.
Yeah, you know what? You said that really, really well. So I tell people all the time that say, I regret I didn't join the military. Well, but here's the thing. You're a productive citizen of this country. You serve a great purpose. You have talents. You have skill. And that's also a very important thing. And the fact that you have that admiration for those who do, and the fact that you love your country like you do, you're exactly where you should be. And you know, I think that's great. And the men and women who do step up and do that, they're doing it so other people don't have to. So
that's,
you know,
right.
Yeah, that's exactly.
That's awesome. Have you heard about this bombshell story about Haley Biden that came out yesterday?
I didn't see it yesterday.
Okay, Haley Biden revealed as the new Biden family member who got China cash. This is from the New York Post. President Biden's daughter-in-law, Haley, is the mysterious new Biden family member who got paid Chinese cash in 2017, House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer revealed on Thursday. Comer said the payments to first son Hunter Biden's sister-in-law turned former lover were revealed in subpoenaed bank records. Haley Biden received tens of thousands of dollars from the Biden family associate Rob Walker, who got $3 million that same year from State Energy HK Limited, a firm affiliated with CEFC China Energy, which is literally a Chinese communist affiliated company.
Holy mackerel. All right. I was wondering if that's maybe what that was. So let's see. We've got Hunter. We've got Haley. We've got President Biden's brother, that associate there. How many people can get money from the communist Chinese before we look at the president and go, what the hell's going on?
For sure. I mean, this raises so many questions. And then this goes on to talk about how President Biden, who was the big guy allegedly mentioned in these communications about this very same Chinese venture, President Biden dined at Haley Biden's residence last Friday. The New York Post said it's unclear if they discussed this looming bombshell. We've got the bank records. We know for a fact Hunter Biden and all of these other Biden family members were receiving cash from Chinese Communist Party affiliated energy companies. And Haley Biden doesn't know anything about energy.
She knows nothing about it, I'm sure. But folks, here's the thing. They are peddling influence off of Joe Biden's position. It's illegal. Any way you slice it, it's illegal. And if something doesn't happen about this, then I'm losing a lot of faith in our system.
Absolutely. And I mean, I was thinking about this and I'm like, why would Haley Biden have gotten her cut of this Chinese communist money? And I was thinking, you know, first of all, she probably did something to help out with the family, the Biden crime family. And so they probably were like, hey, you know, yeah, you did a couple of things here and there. You're aware of what's going on. You're keeping it secret. Maybe she made some phone calls. Maybe she did some administrative work. And they were like, hey, we'll give you a couple tens of thousands of dollars here.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, spread the wealth or just let everybody have some.
This goes on to say the new information just revealed creates an unexpected new avenue for investigation. The memo notes the bank records don't include the first names of all the Biden family recipients. There may be others involved. And so some of these bank records show the money going to Haley Biden and then just an unnamed Biden. Comer is quoted as saying, Democrats described our subpoena as providing nothing more than records for Papa John's and Starbucks, but they failed to mention the records we received documenting the Biden family's business schemes. And I'm with you. I don't understand how this information can keep coming out. And this is one of many stories along these lines. We know that the Biden family was getting millions of dollars. And here's the really, really disturbing part about this. These payments were made in March 2017, just 2 months after Joe Biden left the vice presidency.
Absolutely. Well, we know that the only reason any of this happened was because of his power and position in the U.S. government. That's what it is.
I think there's no other explanation for it. You've got Hunter Biden and Haley Biden who don't know anything about energy, going into the Ukraine, going into China, and doing these energy deals, getting millions of dollars. They have nothing to offer other than the Biden family name. Open phones if you want to be on the show, 406-294-0970. This is David Noble and George Blackard in for Aaron Flint.
Fox News commentary.
The Pope blasts gender ideology as one of the most dangerous ideological colonizations afflicting the world today, and he's not wrong. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
Stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hands.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
5 inches of rain by tomorrow.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com.
In a recent interview, the head of the Roman Catholic Church, Pope Francis, correctly labeled this new fad of gender ideology as one of the most dangerous ideological colonizations afflicting the world today. He went on to explain that this modern-day concept of picking your gender or existing in gender fluidity blurs the differences and value of men and women. Nailed it. That's the broader motivation behind this whole radical rainbow mafia movement, to confuse people into thinking their God-given biology is up for negotiation. And when this ideology is pushed on kids, well, that's straight up child abuse. The Pope also understands there is a difference between tolerance for the LGBTQ community and tolerance for this radical and biological...
For G-O-L-D.
Broadcasting from the Grizzly Gold and Silver Studios, trusted by the Northwest, Montana-owned. Online at grizzlygoldandsilver.com.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooth to the banks of the Clark Fork River. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's David Noble and George Blackard filling in for Aaron Flint. We've got Attorney General Austin Knutson coming on the show here right at the 8 a.m. hour. I'll ask the producer to get that second clip of AG Knutson on the Biden executive order that George Blackard brought up earlier. Governor Gianforte here at 8 a.m. raising the Irish flag at the state capitol. He's also scheduled to welcome a World War II and a Korean War veteran to the governor's office today. Got a couple of messages on the Montana Talks app from Nicole. Are they trying to ban mace here or in Canada? That's in Canada that's actually happened. The Democrats, I'm sure wouldn't think twice about wanting to do it here if they thought they could get away with it.
Well, that's just it. We got to watch what they're doing. And actually, just so you know, you can fly in the U.S. with mace, 4 ounces. So you can do that. But it's Canada, but that's what we got to watch these other countries.
I always talk about how if you want to know what the Democrats would love to do in the United States, look to the UK and Canada. We're simply just not as far down the road as they want us to. Right on John says, Biden's action will drastically hurt pawn shops and kill gun shows. Absolutely, right on John. Absolutely.
And that's what they want. Yeah, they hate gun shows because they just think that everybody's going in there getting anything they want, anytime they want, and that's simply not true.
Right. Hey, Producer, can we play the A.G. Knutson last night on Fox Business? Go ahead.
The Attorney General of the state of Montana, Austin Knutson, joins me now. Your Honor, what is the president trying to do, and why do you object?
Well, there's not a lot honorable about me, Stuart, but I appreciate that.
He's trying to
sell unicorns and blue sky here. I mean, largely this executive order is nothing. It's a lot of rainbows and fairy dust. A lot of it is quite meaningless. But there are some things that are quite concerning. He's trying to do as much as he can within his administrative state. But look, he's encouraging the ATF to keep colluding with shippers to crack down and make business harder on firearms transfers. We've already seen that with FedEx and UPS. You've seen my office and a lot of my colleagues crack down on that and go after those companies, and they've responded. That's illegal collusion. I've got concerns about red flag laws. He wants to increase red flag laws. Those are pretty flagrantly unconstitutional when you're talking about depriving people of their personal property without due process. So there are some things in here that are very, very concerning, Stuart.
And you're going to sue on the grounds that the president cannot make law. He can only respond to the law. That's your basic point here.
That's exactly right. If there's anybody who should know how law is made, it's a guy who's been in the U.S. Senate for decades. He knows he doesn't have the support in Congress, and he knows he doesn't even have the support from a lot of his own party members in the U.S. Senate, which is why this is largely a toothless executive order. But and look, there are some things in it that are just flagrantly silly.
Got it.
And their ignorance is really showing on this one. You know, wanting to go after this myth of undetectable firearms, that hasn't been a thing since Hollywood made it up back in the 1980s. But he's got it in this executive order.
Attorney General Knutson doing a great job last night on Fox Business. George, what do you think?
Absolutely. This is one of those do something syndrome things. So he's saying, look what I'm doing. Look what I'm doing. I'm doing this for you. Well, he's running for reelection. That's all that he's doing. It doesn't mean a lot, because it's unconstitutional, but he's doing something. I'm doing something about gun control.
Right, and he's trying to mollify the progressive left base, because even in Politico Playbook this morning, they're talking about how Joe Biden is completely changing all of his policies simply to try to get up to speed for the 2024 campaign. And they've got three different examples of Joe Biden changing his policies simply to try to run for re-election and trying to move to the moderate middle, even though he's governed from the hard left this entire time. If I can try to find these three examples. Yeah, here we go.
You're absolutely right. You know, anytime somebody on the far left becomes a moderate, they're running for office.
Exactly. I mean, John Tester and Joe Biden are literally doing the exact same thing. And even when you've got Politico Playbook calling it out, you know it's bad. Number one is crime. Biden is now trying to be tough on crime. Number two is oil. Biden approved a Willow project in Alaska. And then immigration. Biden is thinking about bringing back some of the Trump-era immigration policies, all just to try to lie to the American people. George, thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks, David. Appreciate it. Great job this week.
Thank you.